Shut up and sit down. Hello and welcome to episode 94 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation, then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported mainly by our patrons. You can visit us there at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12. I swore I shut that off.
Also known as super important.
9 of 12. Jeez.
That's winning.
What the hell is that?
That hasn't happened in a long time. I think it was me last time.
Yeah. God. Anyway.
So anyway.
This is off. I could have just hung up on it.
It's shit show Monday, guys. Shit sideways. Let's fuck it.
Make right, that's why we're recording on Monday. Shit's always sideways,
right?
So, also welcome my co-host Jen.
Hi, I'm the Jen. Yeah, hi.
The Jen.
Hi. There's just two of us.
Just two of us right now. With any luck, Linda will get her internet back. She's in a heavy storm and doesn't, have any right now. But we decided to go ahead. We didn't want to postpone, and hopefully she'll pop in.
Hopefully she'll pop in. Otherwise, we'll kick it old school when it was just the Jen and Ember.
Yeah. We've certainly done a lot of that, but not for a while now.
I know. It's been a while.
Oh, I'm pushing all the crazy. I opened Slack. Like, what the hell? So what have you been up to this geeky week?
I've been hollowing. I'm playing Dark Souls. And that game literally, they made that game purposely to be awful, just absolutely awful, so that it's really hard. Like, it's stupid hard, and I've spent hours on it, and there are points where I'm like, I'm going to throw this computer out of a window right now, because there's no way that this boss can be killed. Like, this is awful. It's so frustrating. But then, and by the way, it's Dark Souls Remastered. So I'm completely new to all of the Dark Souls, like Demon Souls, Dark Souls, all of it, none of it, never done any of it. So all the things that people know happen, I have no clue about. Like, when you fall through a floor and all of a sudden you're standing next to a boss and I squeal and get pissed and I'm like, what the fuck? But the good news is that there is a payoff usually where, I'm convinced that I can't do it. I'm convinced that I'm never going to finish that level. I'm never going to kill that boss. And then all of a sudden, after hours and hours of grinding it, I figure it out and I figure out how to beat it. And then I feel like the most accomplished human being on the planet. So I guess there's a payoff, maybe? Question mark. I don't know. But there's, the joke where it's, your character, if you die, you lose your humanity and you're undead, so you go hollow, right? And you can restore your humanity to unhollow, reverse your hollowing. So the joke is, I as a person, you as a player, go hollow in the process of playing Dark Souls. It's emotional.
It sounds very Lovecraftian.
It sounds very, it's a really, actually, it is really cool. I definitely recommend checking it out as long as you don't have a window accessible to toss your computer out of, in which case don't play it. I've been playing lots of Conan still too. I still really like Conan. It really has improved and fixed all the things that Ark didn't have figured out. Ark has its things, but I just like it better. I think I like the lore better. I like the world maybe. I don't know. My experience with Ark was really bad because my experience with Ark was I walked into the world. My friend is trying to get me to a space and I would make literally a square building. Like, it's nothing but four walls and a fucking slab and a door that is 3 by 3, right? The smallest fucking thing you can make that counts as a house. And then some asshole in a top hat naked riding a fucking dinosaur will blow it up just because. And it's God, fuck off. And then I spawn somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And then my friend's got to run me over and figure out where the fuck I am. And they're trying to tell me on voice. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm dying. I don't know why. I'm dying. I need rocks. I need to eat fucking I don't fucking know, dude. I'm just naked and scared. And I don't know. What do you do? anyway, I feel like Conan had a much better, the way that they handled the journey system and things like that. I felt like I kind of understood what was happening, and I understand the leveling and what I need to get to the next thing. So we've been having a lot of fun on that. We built Lake Town, and it's cool. I mean, buildings. I built a strip club and a brothel, and cuz. because what I do on video games, I don't know. People may notice I actually am using Instagram now. Apparently that's where people are. My sister was giving me shit. She's like, why don't you just post it on Instagram? That's where I put everything. I'm like, great, cool. So now I'm on Instagram, I guess. I feel like an old lady. It's kind of like the Snapchat all over again.
Yeah, I have an account, but I like never go there.
I don't go there either. And then I post one thing randomly to try it out, and I get like 50 likes and like a bajillion new people following me. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, now that it's connected to Facebook, way too much of that happens automatically.
Yeah, but like they're people that I know, like, and people that I want to have following me. So like, I'm cool with that. So RuPaul's Drag Race, the reunion was last week. That was great. It was fucking some good drama. RuPaul yelled at somebody or yelled about somebody. That kind of made me happy a little bit. It was like a Tyra Banks moment. Like, I worked so hard for that. I came from where you came from. And it was good. It was classy as shit. So that's wrapping up this week. So, actually I think Thursday is the final episode of the season. So anyway, I did go see Incredibles 2 last night, actually. It was good. For the most part, it was pretty good. I can't remember his name right now. The guy who plays Phil Coulson. He's the voice of a guy in it, and I enjoy that because he's awesome, and he's just a great voice actor and a great actor. So I was really stoked to have him in there. My only problem is that it's like warning, like if you have like epileptic photosensitivity or like blah 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 blah, you should probably like not watch this thing because like shit gets crazy. And I'm like, okay, cool. So a couple seconds of that, I get it. And I have eye issues. Like, my right eye is like a funhouse mirror. So when you apply things that are bright lights or weird shapes and whatnot, it becomes like kaleidoscope eyeball for like a minute. But so like a couple seconds of something, I might be a little irritated, but I'm okay. That was not just a couple seconds. And it was the worst.
it was pretty rough.
I normally see that warning and I'm like, okay, there's going to be a few seconds of something or whatever. No, it was like, I had to keep my eyes closed for like a minute in one of the sections.
Wow.
And it was brutal. Also, I just feel like some of that could have been accomplished with audio rather than just destroying my eyeballs. I don't know. It was kind of crazy. That was my only real issue.
The day or the day after it opened and there wasn't even a warning.
Well, they definitely have a warning now. It's like at the beginning of the movie and also on the door.
Yeah, hit the news quick.
Well, yeah, because I'm sure that people had fucking seizures because that shit was fucked up. Like,
One would think that would have come out in a focus group. Like,
yeah, like maybe, I feel like out of all the companies, Pixar should be like on point with that. There are people that like, that's their job. like a liability issue maybe. Like I did end up with a headache. I was kind of bummed, but I did really enjoy it though. So I don't want to like take away from it. It sound like, taken away too much from it because I did really, really enjoy the movie. I thought it was a good time. I thought it was fun. It was absolutely worth the money to go see it. I just would have liked a little bit more of a warning. And then I got to the point where I could predict when it was going to happen again after that. But yeah, that first one fucked my shit up. But yeah, it was good. Go see it.
Cool.
Unless you have seizures as a result of photosensitivity or epilepsy.
Yeah.
In which case, don't go see it.
So, I have been playing lots and lots of Pokemon Go. Last Thursday night, they released a bunch of new stuff where you can make friends.
Yeah.
And there's friend codes. And then you can give each other presents that you pick up just, you know, doing your normal rounds, going to Pokestops, and you get gifts. And then you can give them to your friends. And there's some trading going on. There's still not item trading, which a lot of us really wanted, but you can trade Pokemon up to even legendary Pokemon, but you have to build your friendship to a certain level first, and it costs a whole lot of Stardust.
So this is something that just to sidetrack on this Pokemon Go thing. So I was talking to somebody else about this and like how they were saying that they were like calculating and like doing the math that it'll take like 90 days to like get the friendship to the point it needs to be at to trade like the legendary. Like they're starting to calculate like time frames for this friendship meter thing. Is that like,
yeah, well,
is that
there's
about
a lot
right?
of variables too, because you get, you can advance your friendship more quickly by raiding with people.
Huh.
And so your particular friendships, like you're in a raid and like it'll pop up after like you increased your level with this person, because you were in the same raid together. So, I mean, like Linda and I are friends and we've been trading gifts back and forth every day, but it's going to take a long time. Because we can't raid together. We're in different states. My husband and I and my, you know, son and I, that'll take forever because actually
you can't be friends. You guys are in the same family. That's not how that works.
So anyone out there, my trainer code is 7207-1493-8120.
I feel like we should put this, like, I wish I had, like, a ticker to put this on the screen right now. Friend Ember now, if you want to play the Pokemans.
I play daily. I don't always get enough presents to send everyone because I already have 38 friends.
So, I have one other comment about this whole Pokemon Go thing. And then
all right.
The other thing that cracked me up is I didn't quite understand that there would be like friend codes. I assumed it would be like through your phone. You would just be like, hey, here's my number or whatever, right? Or I'm going to send you a friend request through the app. Like, I didn't think about the fact that because it's like native to your phone, I guess, which means people will be on different devices. And like, I have Samsung games and then there's Google games and there's probably Apple games. I don't know. I don't use an Apple, but I'm sure there is. That they needed a way to make sure you could friend people all over the place. So you have these fucking crazy ass codes. So all I know is that like I get on my Facebook, whatever day that launched, and it's like my number is, and it was this, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Is this like some kind of like, it's like a statement happening, some protest I don't fucking know about? Like what is going on? And then my grandmother, who's on Facebook, is like, I don't understand what's happening. Like there's like, I don't know, there's numbers. Like I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what's happening. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, apparently it was everybody sharing their Pokemon numbers, which makes a hell of a lot more sense because I had no clue.
I did all of that in our, because I have raid chats I'm part of for, you know, I play with. So, and I say hi to Mr. Shadows and another mech. I did not know that you lose IV when you make those trades. The only trades I'm really, really interested in right now is I really want Kangaskhan. So I need an Australian friend, or, you know, we have plenty of cheaters around here that
find out if Grizz
trade with me. And I still don't have freaking Mewtwo, but I did a raid at our one park that gets those raids around here today.
I did hear that Mewtwo is a popular item being traded from other friends that I have been ear hustling nearby talking about Pokemon.
Yeah. So Tuesday, the new raid EX raid passes go out. Hopefully I'll get one. If not, I gotta make my son reinstall Go on his phone because you can only also trade head to head, like at the same time, and he doesn't even have it on his new phone. It's just me playing that little account.
No, I don't even know what level do you have to be to play with other people.
Oh, I don't know. They keep lowering it, lowering.
Okay, because I don't think I'm at the right level to play with people yet.
It got down to, like, you could friend at 15 or 20.
Oh, maybe I can.
Already by, like, Friday, so you probably can.
All right. Well, I might have a friend code, too. Yay.
Yay. So check that out. Today, I got dressed to go to the real gym.
Oh.
And then I turned on my raid chat, and it was like, there were 5 raids in a row. So I was like, I ended up spending a couple hours doing Pokemon raids.
How do I go to the fake gym? I'd like to have...
But then I went to the real gym after all the Poke gyms.
Oh, man.
And I kind of kicked my own ass today.
Okay.
And I also got this awesome new glass at this event this week.
Oh, wow. Fancy pants.
Pepper. It's just got, like, peach green tea in it right now. But
aww.
Isn't that awesome? I'm like, oh, my God. I have to get my sister one. Her name is Tiffany. And
Pokemon is loud. Sorry, guys. Gonna load my Pokemon. I want to know if I can friend people, and it was like, "Ding, you exist." Man, I just
so with that,
Yeah,
I guess it's time.
Yeah, I suppose.
For the Geek Grapevine.
Possibly. Potentially.
I think all the news is yours.
What? No, that's impossible, probably.
I kept meaning to update to newer stories because I had old stories in there and I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah, so I don't really have a whole lot news this week. I guess our news was like, let's talk about all the stuff we've been playing or seeing news. So this is relevant to me because I play a lot of stuff. A lot of the games of this type has kind of been my thing I'm super into. And then the Telltale is moving away from its old engine, and moving over, to a new engine, which is interesting. Well, it makes sense too, because to be honest, so the Telltale games have done like The Walking Dead and, Wolf Among Us, the Game of Thrones game. I think there's like a Borderlands prequel stories from the Borderlands thing too. There's a whole bunch of them, but this is particularly interesting because the Wolf Among Us season 2 comes out in 2019. It was pushed to 2019, but I'm wondering if that's probably part of the reason why. But it's going to be, that'll be the first ever Telltale game that it's going to run on the Unity engine. So, I don't know. We'll see what that means. I don't know how much that's going to change up the gameplay. I hope I still really enjoy it. I love those games a lot. One of my favorite things to stream are the Walking Dead Telltale games. So, I love the shit out of it. So, yeah. It's just an interesting thing, especially because their old engine is pretty much extinct, so it's probably a good thing. It's a little it's a little obsolete-ish, a little outdated, so probably a good change. But yeah.
Yeah. I did find a story that Bethesda is suing Warner Brothers.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Warner Brothers put out a Westworld game, and it looks just like Fallout. Well, the mobile Fallout shelter game. So that could be interesting. If you want that Westworld game, get it, but then don't expect support because it might go under real fast. Bethesda has the cachet to do this, I think, successfully. And it looks pretty obvious from the pictures in this article that I will post the links to our news, as always, in our notes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Whoops. Blatant ripoff, apparently.
I think they would get away with this. You would think Warner Brothers could hire developers that knew how to, you know, well, that would have seen Fallout, for God's sake.
Yeah. So I actually have a road spill this week. Credit to Sam, who sent me this one. Thank you, Sam, for finding this. I have absolutely no idea what I'm about to experience. Let's see. Maybe I might have to move this one over here. Okay, so this week's road spill brought to you by olive oil. Great. Oh, gross. Oh, oil. I was told it was an oil spill, and I was like, I don't want to do an oil spill. That sounds really sad. And they're like, no, not that kind of oil spill. I get it now. Okay. So let's see here. Olive oil spills shuts down Pennell Road in Middletown. I don't know where Middletown is, but somewhere. Weird. I don't even know what state this is in. But apparently this was on the 20th, so this was just a few days ago. A tractor trailer spilled its load of olive oil all over Pennell Road Wednesday morning, causing the busy road to be shut down for hours. The incident occurred about 11 a.m. when the Big Rig's load apparently shifted while it was going up a hill on South Pennell Road, causing it to hit the rear door and spilling it onto the highway. Great.
This must be Philadelphia.
Maybe. The oil still in the rig was transferred to another truck just before 3 p.m. Oh, so they managed to Oh, that was still in the rig. I'm like, that's gross. I'm like, no, I get it. Okay, that makes more sense. The stuff that was still in the truck. Oh, my God. That sounds disgusting.
There's a Middletown everywhere, but I hovered over sports. It's got 76ers, Eagles, Flyers, Phillies.
Oh, that sounds like fucking...
It's Pennsylvania.
That sounds like Pennsylvania. Gross.
Ew.
Yeah.
Although, at least it didn't smell as bad as a lot of the spills we've covered.
That's true. And it probably didn't catch fire like the bee one, which is good.
Right.
Bees and fire. Terrifying. Rock on. So, a little light on the news today, because we're a little bit light on hosts today. So,
It's okay. It's okay. The topic can take up plenty of time, probably. We found that it kept coming up. We kept having like a news item every week with something to do with technology and the law and kind of the catching up with each other, things that happen as technology advances very, very quickly and the political system is very slow. And not like watching Zuckerberg talk to congresspeople who didn't really understand how the internet works. And a lot of it just keeps relating back to that kind of like, oh my God, I'm a white man in charge, don't even know. So how are we going to get these things regulated or unregulated? And so it kept coming up. So we're going to take on this topic. We got a lot of different things we want to cover.
Yeah,
I did.
I think one of the ones I want to give an example just because I think it's a really excellent example, is the one that when it came up, that was when we were really like, oh my God, this is something we need to talk about. We had had a few stories, but this one in particular really, really caught us off guard, which is, I don't know if y'all remember, but it was about a little over a year ago. There was a guy who was criminally charged for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon by sending, it's actually really funny that we're talking about this right now, by sending a video to cause a news reporter to have an epileptic seizure. Like purposely sent a message with a video to make that in, because they knew about the individual's like epilepsy and wanted to make them have a seizure. And then they were legitimately charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, which is crazy. 'Cause they weren't even in the same room. With so it's just that was the one where I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like it makes sense. He
But I mean, if you can
absolutely.
prove motive and intent and you weaponize technology, then it's a deadly weapon.
Yeah, no,
So.
I absolutely agree with the I think it was the right call. It just really makes you open your eyes and realize, okay, we are not in the same world we were in when our laws were written. By any stretch of the imagination, were we prepared for this, or just the crazy? That's good, but that's one of the ones I always like to bring up because it's a really interesting example of just how crazy these issues can become, and how like I can't even imagine that judge being like, "All right, well, I thought it was going to be a Tuesday, and today, like, I'm trying to find out if these are legitimate charges."
And that's at least a more easily solved pace-wise, because if the attorneys are with it and they bring it the way they did, creating that as the weapon, as the idea, and then it's easy for the judge, and that's why judges are very powerful in that part of the system, they can set that precedent. So now other cases come and there is a precedent set. And until like another judge says, well, no, it's not, which I can't see happening with that case, and gets it to the Supreme Court, it doesn't really get codified into law
Well,
per se. But precedents
sadly.
are really powerful. There's a lot trickier ones. I think net neutrality is a good example, but maybe really, really complicated.
Oh, yeah.
But I
We could do
know,
3.5 episodes on net neutrality, so we'll
right?
boil it down a little bit, a little bit. There's been a lot of but I think net neutrality is also something that's been really in the news a lot because, a lot of people really want to make it clear that this is an important issue and have tried to educate people. But it is hard because you're trying to educate people that without Clippy's help can barely function on fucking Windows. So, I
Right.
mean, I'm sorry to say that. I apologize if I've insulted anybody. But I have worked in IT-ish, like tech support positions. Shit, I worked in tech support positions, well, like helping customers use their fucking cable box and somehow they get confused. So trying to explain to somebody like the legality of something or like why net neutrality is an important issue when all they need to know is can I connect to my Facebook and or send emails to my friends and family? Yeah, sorry to
Well,
insult
I
those of you
put
that.
in this article, and it's sort of a different topic, but I feel like it relates. And when I'm trying to explain why net neutrality is important, I kind of end up going to this because a lot of people have heard of it. It's gone on in different parts of the country all over. Holy cow, I was looking at it and I looked up a lot of articles, but this one's here in North Carolina, and I'm more familiar with these, locales and what went on. But it's solar panels. I mean, try and just move to a different energy form to get off the grid, to create competition in the marketplace, to become independent of it. These companies, I mean, they have monopolies, even though utilities are regulated in most places. They're still, I mean, sometimes city-owned, some are privately owned. There's no choice. And people trying to make the choice to just basically have their own little grid are being prevented all of a sudden because there's a powerful lobby there, right?
Well, yeah. Like, well, you that's can't. Crazy.
So it goes from, hey, we'll give you, the government will give you like a tax credit if you put up your solar panels, and then you can get paid by the utility company or at least cut your bill by feeding back to the grid. But now they like are legally disallowing people to.
Well, yeah, because there's no established legal protection for these unexpected organizations that should be able to participate in the free market to offer a service so that there's no monopoly. But they didn't expect it because they didn't expect, like, it just made sense. We have electricity, so electrical utility companies, they do their thing and they have the control of it. And yeah. Then it became a, oh, we have new players that are playing in a different way. It's like, who predicted that, you know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of prediction that the solar panels, because for a long time, solar panels were just too expensive. It didn't make sense. And now, I mean, I know here in Arizona, a lot of people have solar panels because we have a lot of sun and it just makes sense. And a lot of
really interesting for them to make the argument that like, it's arguing about, well, who can sell electricity?
Yeah.
You know, they turned it around, tried to turn it around on them. And this article is really interesting because it was a church, like a church and an advocacy group that stepped up and tried to, you know, change these utility laws. So people around here, I talk about net neutrality to get back to that. And they know this story.
Right.
And you say, okay, so part of net neutrality, I think, is really important is we look at it. Are we going to consider internet access a utility? And yeah. People have for and argument, this know, has for a, and against this, arguments.
This whole internet as a utility thing is really, really important to me right now because ever since February, my ISP now has a cap on my data. And if I go over that, I have to pay more, which I crush the shit out of that fucking number. And because I send too many fucking packets, I have to pay an extra $50 a month to have unlimited data. And it's insane because I tried really hard to stay within their numbers. I mean, I was like that person around the house, like, hey, if you're watching YouTube, if you could take that down a little bit, like, can we not stream any extra? And we, you know, can we just make sure we've got like, you know, no computers on and updating? Like, I was doing some crazy shit trying to fucking figure out if I could keep my data below it. But like, my whole thing with that is that they're treating it like it's a fucking utility, but it's not. And like, I have no recourse as a customer except for just to pay more because apparently there's an additional, I mean, the additional cost is crazy. I don't know. It's interesting.
But
it's weird.
I think I'm actually in favor of treating it like utility for reasons that
exactly.
At least then are we have some control over who we elect.
That's
and
true.
The laws that they, you know, if they regulate it, they regulate the prices on utilities.
Right.
Things
but this
like
puts
getting
me...
something back because you're contributing, you know, can come into place and can be regulated instead of just like a horrible free for all that is a little scary right now. I mean, there hasn't been competition for connectivity in a long time. And so much education is dependent on it now. They're just issuing laptops and tablets at schools, even just in the public school system. And to expect that everyone has that at home, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable for low-income families.
Well, yeah, and that's why I said, like, I'm on both sides on that. Like, that's the hard part is, like, I want it to be accessible. I want it to be there for everybody. But there's a lot of legal issues to work out because I don't really want – I don't know if anybody remembers what happened with the phone companies, like, a while back. But that was a whole thing that we are getting dangerously close to dealing with again because there's only a few people that own all the lines in the U.S. that matter. Like – There's a lot of things there that then there's no precedence for a lot of it. And that's the biggest problem is like we were talking about. When it comes to legal issues, when a judge makes a decision, that's going to set a precedent, and that precedent is going to be used and can be used to argue in future cases. So it's really important that each of those issues be handled the right way. That's a little scary.
Well, I like to see, and I'm curious to see the cases that come up, like who brings this, you know, like the solar panel one, like to church and advocacy group, like who's going to be taking these cases to court about my access is garbage, right? Or I don't have access. And it's gated. It's classist gated. Right,
yeah.
Now.
Oh, it's true. That's definitely true. But I think there's a lot of things that are classist in the U.S. and a lot of people don't really realize it because we don't have, like, it's not super obvious where people are at. But I worked as a loan officer for long enough and handled a lot of loan applications. I can tell you, I know a lot about class levels. You know, who pays? I mean, it's disgusting that somebody who you make less money, so now you have to pay more for your mortgage. Like, that's how that works. Because that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? But one of the examples that I want to bring
up, we're paying for data right now is for connectivity in general.
Oh, it's stupid.
It
is insane what I pay so that I can play video games on the internet and do stuff like this. So one of the things that came up last week that made me really happy, and I didn't really hear it discussed a lot, which kind of bummed me out, was the decision that was made in the Supreme Court about the fact that cell phone location data is covered and under the Fourth Amendment regarding like illegal search and seizure. So they have to have probable cause to get that data. Even though your cell phone is going to be getting tower data, all kinds of stuff, your cell phone company, you can't just have the cops be like, hey, I just want to know where they were at that time. There has to be a legitimate request through the system.
Took long enough.
Yeah, but I think that's really important. That's a big deal.
Is TSA still exempt from that?
I have no idea.
Or does it cover that? Because that was something where this article...
The Homeland Security crap.
Yeah, it came up a while ago, this cases like this where...
Well, yeah, because the Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act put a hole in that.
Well, right, and if it's a matter of like, basically if it's a matter of whatever, but at the same time, you at least have a recourse where you can go to court for those kind of things now. And having the Supreme Court make a statement like that, that's really important because it is something that should be included. I think that that's one of the biggest issues with technology and law intersecting is about privacy, and it is about what information can and should be accessible. I mean, did you know that we recently updated our privacy policy? How many of those emails did you get over the last like month and a half? It was I didn't even know I signed up for blimblamshizzitysham.com to like look up something one time, and now I'm getting an update about their privacy policy. Like, it's nuts.
And did you see Scott Johnson had tweeted out, he got one precious one where they're updating their privacy policy and they've got everyone's email address in the CC field.
Winning. We're doing a really good job to protect your privacy by giving everybody your email address.
Like, holy crap. I mean, I work with a lot of like older folks in politics and whatever, and I'm constantly going, don't do that, and teaching people how to use BCC. But for a technology company or somebody who's running an app to not know.
Whoops.
It's like the first rule of emailing anybody to not fucking do that.
Yeah, don't email. Please don't reply all, number one. Number two, please BCC if you're going to put my shit on stuff. Okay, thanks.
I don't know how many emails I've sent over the years to say,
dude,
A, don't do that. B, never email me again.
I just, right? I mean, it's nuts. But, you know, that's another big thing is that, you know, there are a lot of concerns there. And I'm glad you put it down. I don't know if that's you that put this down the way you did. But it is one of those things that you have to, as individuals, there is an issue of privacy versus that level of convenience as well. I do like the fact that Google is a creeper and knows what I'm about to fucking type into the field because I maybe didn't know how to word it. And it's like, I type in recipe for, and it's like, oh, banana bread. I'm like, I don't know how you knew that based on the data that I've given you over our relationship together, Google, but I'm happy that you did because I was looking for banana bread.
It's awesome. And Amazon, like, hey.
Oh, Amazon is fucking nuts. Dude, I don't even know. Amazon's off the rails.
I bought a new pedal for my husband, and now it's recommending, you know, these cables that I bought in the past that he likes. And I was like, well, of course he fucking needs more because we bought a box. And like, I'm good with that. And I had a really long conversation with my son Connor about this a while ago. And he's like, you know, super nerdy engineer guy tech, but he doesn't like to Facebook. He only does when he has to. And he's got all these privacy concerns and he gates his internet connection and all of this stuff. And I'm like, I have been doing this shit since before the internet. I was like tapping into phone lines. I was war dialing just to find where we could creep into. But I have different feelings about privacy. I love the convenience aspects. I like when I go into a new town, my phone saying, hey, your friend Hannibal was here and he went here. You'd probably like it. 'Cause that's probably fucking right. And I don't know where I am and I love it. And privacy, like they're not in my head, right? We haven't got stuff plugged into our head.
But we do type a lot of our shit. Yeah.
But if I type it, if I put it out there, I know it's out there and I will own whatever I say.
But there is an expectation.
Stuff I buy, I'm not, I don't know. I don't think that.
I do.
That's not privacy that I'm afraid the government is going to like send the FBI to my house because I talked about my friend who was smoking weed or something. Like,
I don't know how, but I had
enough to do that. People, this is not like our dystopian society. They don't have it together.
And they don't, but they are tracking data and that does make me nervous and they do listen to things. So I do get a little bit nervous about some of that. But also just talking about Amazon, I just want to like take a moment to understand why the fuck this was like, hold on, let me see if I can fucking get this thing. This is insane. This is like the stupidest fucking thing. I have no idea what I did on my Amazon fucking shit, that justifies, this fucking thing. I wish I could show it better. This is really pissing me off kind of. But basically what's important to note is that it is a pug made out of the shittiest plastic of all time. With a tongue at the end of a measuring tape that you pull out of its mouth. Yeah, I have no idea. That and butt plugs. I don't know. I don't get it. But other than that, Amazon, good job. Also, I'm not having a baby, but thanks for reminding me. Do you remember that?
Well, and
Update your baby registry. Oh.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was fucking
weird. But
that
was everybody.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot. Everybody was female.
I've gotten snail mail. Diaper coupons and congratulating me. I'm like,
do you know something that I don't know?
That's not going to happen.
I think.
How the hell did I get on that list?
I think it is important to not. I mean, I think that privacy, though, is an important issue, and it's one that's going to continue to be an issue when it comes to technology and legal issues going forward. It's going to continue to be an issue, right? I think that that's a major one.
Well, it's gonna be huge. Like I put a note in here, like smart cars.
Oh yeah,
how that works, right?
Yeah.
We gotta know where it is and detect it, and it's gonna have a history. And it's proven that it's safer,
right?
So that what kind of trade off do we want? Oh my God, somebody might know what corner I was at a given time.
They already know if you have Google
it's
locations.
It's already in place. Yeah.
It's creepy as fuck when I look back.
That's data. Keep an eye. I mean, keep an eye out is really, in almost any of these topics, keep an eye on it. We are responsible as citizens to keep an eye on it. Look and see what your legislature is voting on. Look up the policy when you sign up for some shit so that you know who has access to that information. I mean, and I know people hate it, but I really feel like the more regulation, the better. I mean, it's for our protection, and that's why we have to pay attention to it. Otherwise, big money corporations just take it over and they just get whatever they want. But if people pay attention and then they scream about it on Twitter, then they have to go, oh no, we as a company would never do that to you, and they have to prove it in their policy.
Yeah, so except we have technology now that makes it a lot easier. It's just like the fact that somebody hacked a fucking Target and was able to access debit card numbers for like a bajillion people just by using that access to the system. Or the fact that now we have an issue where a credit bureau used to have to actually like go to a physical facility to steal records on people's credit history. Because of the way technology is now, a company, a gigantic company, well, I guess, you know, a credit bureau fucked up. Fucked everybody, Yeah, the data that comes on a USB.
Super powerful hacker tool. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it's one thing at my workplace where people are like the one thing that that gets talked about every single time is, do not put a USB into any computer in the building ever for any reason ever. And people are like, I don't get it. I just want to put my photo. It's like, don't do it. Just don't, because like that's all it takes.
That's a perfect example, because I was going to say your job probably, like my husband's job, you have HIPAA involved.
Yeah, absolutely. We have personal data.
Having that level of regulation actually helps protect us all as far as where information is stored.
Oh, really pisses off my clients.
It gets extra gating.
Oh, if they
can't. Extra gating.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And it should be there. And I think it's really important information to be protected. So, you know, I think it's a really good point that, you know, this is something that's going to evolve, but I really like the fact that you talk about the responsibility. I think that's a huge component of this, is that we as individuals stay aware of, you know, stay aware of these news stories, read them, try to understand them, and, you know, have an opinion. Whether your opinion is like the same as mine, just have one, and then make sure your politicians know what your opinion is so that they can make decisions, you know, because it's kind of important, because there are a lot of things that are going to come on deck, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to get a local legislator on, but they're in session right now.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's funny that
they're a little busy
like this
at the moment.
We're voting on, what did he say? Like, just, there are things going on in North Carolina legislature that are just ridiculous. He's like, we're in session voting on 3 bullshit constitutional amendments. Sorry. Like,
no big deal. Just a few constitutional amendments. It's totes fine.
But they are bullshit. It's like the party in control right now is trying to shove through all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Like total bullshit constitutional amendments and tacking on stuff like, oh, we can't get out of this road project that everyone hates. It's going to cost many people millions of dollars. Like they made this contract with a foreign company to build a toll road. And until like X amount of dollars in tolls are paid through it, that company still owns it and gets all the money. And it's just, and it's been backing up traffic for years, and it's a really bad deal. And they keep trying to like, no, we don't have any interest in keeping that deal. Really? Because the former governor did that passed it. Why are you still protecting this piece of shit deal? And they're doing stuff like tacking it onto like bullshit constitutional amendments. So
one of the other things I want to make sure to mention, there was another story in particular that stood out for me in my memory of, this is from a couple years ago, but it really stood out in my memory when we're talking about technology and law, is the robot Sophie. So it was a Japanese technology company that had a robot named Sophie, and the idea is that Sophie was going to help do job interviews. And it was basically, the idea is development of artificial intelligence, and the idea is that Sophie could tell whether or not somebody was lying, basically based on their physical responses or whatnot. She would track that. They're also, but one of the bigger problems is that it's really useful and helpful, except Sophie also aggregates data, which means that Sophie might choose to, you know, disregard candidates who live in certain areas because just the probability of somebody in that area, you know, having a certain level of, how do I put it? Like, basically, successful workers in the past came from this area, but the ones that came from this area weren't as successful in the past.
Oh,
so now
yeah.
It's going to accidentally weed out people that, just because of the area that they're in and the probability and the fact that that's how the computer brain works, is to like, oh, well, what's the highest probability of whatever? But the fact that that's a factor in there and a weighted factor can really affect issues, and that means that you could lose candidates who lived in a poor or minority heavy areas, and that's a big issue.
Yeah, predictive analytics in general, and there was another story on NPR today. It keeps doing that. Like, the likelihood you're going to go to jail, you know, based on your neighborhood, and like, this is, it could compound problems that we're just starting to find solutions for God's sake, right?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. No, I am. And that's my level of concern, right? Is what do we do when this, you know, how do we protect against companies using that kind of thing, and that is it discriminatory? You know, those are important conversations and questions that need to be asked, especially as we continue to use these things. But again, I like the convenience of some of the shit that technology does. So it's hard because you want to appreciate the technology, you want to see it gets pushed forward, but you also want to make sure that it is not just fucking off the rails doing whatever the fuck Sort wants. You know, it's a balance, right? And I don't know. I come back to stay vigilant.
That was really big. Like if you go back to the Facebook and how they use AI. And mistakes they made, but mistakes they learned from, changes they're making. And it's been really interesting to watch that unfold. Like, do we need to regulate this? Or do we just need to, oh, I don't know, read our fucking license agreements? You know, I mean, and I think they did some things really, really perfectly. The you own your own shit. There are so many sites, you know, social media sites, that once you post a picture there, it is basically free reign. You don't have any claim. You know, it's gone. And Facebook has never claimed anyone's content.
Yeah, the intellectual property issue is a big deal, especially because it's so easy to copy pasta now. Like, you copy paste something from one place to another, you just stole it. Like, the fact that I had an image that I found 5 years ago that I wanted to get tattooed on my body, and somebody had scrubbed the watermark with the artist's signature on it. So the only way I was actually able to find it so I could contact the artist to get the permission was to do a reverse Google search with an image. And that's how I actually ended up finding her, which is awesome that I found her so I could ask her permission to put the fucking piece of art on my fucking body. But, like, it was really easy for somebody to steal it and throw it up on fucking Pinterest, and now they own it. And so there's so many things that come with the ease and the... and all that, the convenience and whatnot. But yeah, I think you're right. I think as long as we stay vigilant, we stay aware, then hey, hopefully we can get hopefully our legal system just keeps up, you know, is flexible enough to handle.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, there's constantly cases, and, you know, it's a reason not to have frivolous cases, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we need to get this other stuff through the court that's really important and be a little forward thinking. That's why it's, I think, useful to have conversations about comparing something to, you know, the utility conversation. If we could wrap up energy and internet access and stuff into one argument and, you know, pass something that's forward thinking. I mean, and that's the whole thing. That's part of what Obama was trying to do, right, with the whole new net neutrality rule. And it got overturned by people who don't really understand everything in it. Instead of, like, tweaking it, just throw it away. No, don't let them do that shit. Anyway, contact your legislators. So thanks, everyone who's here with us today. And anyone who's listening out there in podcast land, please chime in any time by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or giving us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at Geek Grills. So what are you most anticipating right now, Jan?
Multiplayer Monday in like an hour with the DKG kids. No, I'm going to be doing some streaming a little bit this week, at least. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to, on my channel, we're going to be launching the sister show to the Friday Hype Train. It's going to be the We Don't Have a Name Yet Wednesday Vent Your Shit Train. maybe it's a Vent Your Shit fucking... I don't know. Well, we don't know. We're working on it. We're working on it. It's going to be crazy. I think there's that in Chicago. I go to Chicago this weekend, visit family, looking for that.
Okay. I am looking forward to Thursday. We haven't chosen a time yet, and I'm still getting our logo sorted out, but I should be launching Heresy and Hearsay on Thursday with Reverend Barney.
Oh, so that'll be fun. Hooray.
So you can watch my Twitch channel at 9 of 12 for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember, the Jen plays for mine, too, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we will – you can probably catch it here.
Follow the
Twitter. Go follow our channels.
Or if you just
following
tweet.
Following us, we'll host.
Follow the Twitters. Twitters has all the info these days. I do try to tweet out at Geek Grills anytime I'm doing something. So if you follow Geek Grills – you can catch up with what's going on with either of us and also Linda, who's been streaming her, her crochet work, which is incredible. But yeah, and just a reminder too, I want to thank the folks that are here live with us right now. Again, it's been great to have people here. We record right now, 4 p.m. Pacific time and 7 p.m. Eastern at the moment. But follow us because that might be changing.
Okay.
Oh, scheduling changes are fun. Yeah. So I guess we're gonna have to talk about that a little bit. I do also want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/grills. If you are not a patron, you can become one. Patreon and Twitch support. That is how we support our show. That's how we, you know, honestly, it helps us make the show better and do more with, you know, game nights, things like that. I really want to get to that point. So go to Patreon, become a patron, even if it's just a buck an episode, I don't care. Anything at all helps. And that reminds me again, we have shifted to a per episode format. So, if you have not updated your Patreon, please do that, ASAP, preferably before the first. Yeah. So that's a thing.
That's a thing. Reviews. That's another way you can help us for free. Whatever podcast you use, most of them have some way to like throw a star. On iTunes, you can write a nice review, which we check out and we will read on air. We appreciate that. We have a Facebook page. We have Twitter. Real easy to find at Geek Grills if you'd like to spread the good word.
Indeed.
So where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at The Jen Plays. And then also you can find everything I do at thejensays.com because I own it.
You can find Linda, who is normally here with us recording, talking about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. They are also available on Twitter. And you can find her on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. I, again, am Ember. I am at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game. Thanks for listening, everyone.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.